devices in all the schools, and they could see it coming. It's just, when I read it, I go, wait a minute, not everybody gets the same shot at that money. And then they were complaining that across the country, the vendors were not giving equal discounts to for providing the service and putting the infrastructure in. And so at the bottom line, they were looking at about $7 to $9 billion to make this work. So I don't know where that's going in an era where they're trying to cut the federal budget. So I'm just hoping they don't cut my annual budget, because that's about $300,000 to us in our operating budget a year.
Now, these grant monies, they are replacing what we would have otherwise spent out of Prop K money for these projects?
It helped us, yes. Right. Yes, very good. And, Carr, are you going to go through the details of a couple? Yeah. So he'll talk to you about the three projects that we've already had.
And Mr. Chair, I have an additional question for Gary, actually. So, Gary, on these grants, I thought they were one-time money, but you're saying there's an operating component to it that funds ongoing operations?
Yes. It's a separate application that we do every year. And you move further up the line, the more low wealth kids you have,
right?
And you get a higher percentage of your phone bill paid. So, for example, we're at about the 40 something percentile of funding. Right. So, if my phone bill was $400,000 a year, they would pay approximately $200,000. And the money goes directly to the phone company, and then they reduce my bill. So we just went through an audit that was dragging on and on, and you're dealing with this faceless person in New Jersey. Oh, she difficult to deal with. And finally, she just released us. And the money was not flowing. So we were a little concerned when we were getting through this year. But it covers our regular phone lines, which would include the data lines for the internet. We were even able to, we don't have many cell phones, but we were able to get some funding for our cell phones. And so it's a good annual little.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. I learned something new today, because with Prop K money, those are all one-time monies for construction. Mm-hmm. But with these programs, these are ongoing operating, they have an ongoing operating benefit. So it's sort of there's lots of benefits to these programs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. You mentioned there was three schools that you applied for. Do you remember which schools those were?
Carr's going to explain how much and which ones.
It might be just any questions about E-rate before we move on to specifically how it applies to.
Okay. One more piece of that puzzle is, and it applies to all projects you'll see throughout, Common Core standards. Has everybody heard about Common Core? It's a standardized testing and assessment for schools that is coming up start of 2015, is that correct?
Yes, spring.
We as a district and all districts across the nation, this is a federal thing, have to prepare our classrooms to assess kids on computers and devices. We can know it's no longer fill in the bubble by hand. So you'll see throughout these projects and future projects, technology, 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 technology. So just a heads up that there's going to be a lot of technology coming up in these presentation and future ones, because we have to upgrade all our schools, all our classrooms, for all kids to be able to test on a device or computer. Within a window of time. So
it's not like we're going to get every kid a computer where they're all going to be sitting down at the exact minute. You rotate them through your system. It's going to be an interesting process.
You know, think about it. You have to have wireless. If you go wireless, you have to have complete connectivity. If it turns off for a second and they only have an hour to finish the test, that causes problems. So it has to be very reliable data systems and technology throughout.
Dramatically, that's a real problem.
It's an interesting task, because it's essentially there's 2.5 years to upgrade all your schools across the whole country. So you'll hear that in our presentations and probably in the newspaper for the next couple of years. Go ahead, Jenna.
So if the federal government is saying, okay, we need all of our students across the country to be able to use electronic devices and internet to take these tests, but they're giving the grants to only low-income levels, so then who, I mean, this might be a simple question that I've never heard of, but who pays the difference if you don't get the grant? So let's say San Marcos High didn't get the grant. Mm-hmm. Then where does the extra money come from to pay for
Prop
that?
Prop K. Now, we have a Prop K.
Other districts don't.
May not. So, for example, I'm just going to grab one, Escondido. If they didn't have they're going to have to somehow get there. And that's, I just envision it hitting the wall when people realize we can't make this. And then I think you've just heard that the national healthcare program has been pushed back a year. I can envision that happening. Some people talk about it and say, oh, they'll postpone it. We're trying to be proactive and get there.
So even if it's not for them, you know, we kind of need to do it because that's the age that we're in.
Exactly.
So we're trying to be proactive, but it is it's a hard date to hit for not just us, but all districts.
I heard Common Core isn't necessarily going across the country, because I understood it was pretty much a voluntary program that the federal government was pushing. A lot of states were balking at it for various reasons. And I remember hearing in the last board meetings that we expect our test scores to go down after we accept Common Core. How do we justify that?
Well, the first portion, I know California, I don't know what the other states do, but California, right. It is mandated. There's obviously a lot of balking for the reasons we just described. It's hard to hit that number, especially if you don't have Prop K dollars to utilize. So yes, there's balking. In California, it's a mandate. As far as future is concerned, I can't speak on the future. I think we need to press forward as best we can and make sure our standards do stay as high as that this district has made them so far. Okay.
There's 18 schools in the district, and only three are part of this grant?
So far.
That we got money for.
For so far?
Right,
so
right.
far? So there's 15 other schools that...
No. Remember, they have to have a certain number of low-wealth kids. We only... our next one we're going for is San Marcos Middle. It's real borderline. And what they do is they use the number of kids on free and reduced lunch. And, you know, that's what you use. And so we're getting close. We were real close on Twin Oaks High School. But what happens is high school level kids just don't want to bring those forms home for free lunch or reduced lunch. And so we promote it, but some just don't take part in it. And that's, you know, they could have the little brother in taking part, and we try to pick them up that way. But that's just the way it is. So we just kind of got squeezed out on Twin Oaks High School, and we're still pushing on San Marcos. And again, we look for the windows of opportunity to apply. The high school, we just don't qualify. Any of the both high schools, we just don't qualify for the grant.
For the grant. But the other 15 schools... would need this type of...
We'd have to see, and I don't see the other ones qualifying. Possibly Joliet, Leech Tech, but that's a new school. But the older schools, you have Knob Hill, Paloma, Twin Oaks Elementary, those. Just probably not quite enough of a percentage. I think it has to be over 50%, 51, to qualify.
Now, isn't Brown suggesting another round of big bonds for schools? And
that would be for... No, actually, he's not. he's against it because there's a water issue, and that's his priority. You got competing issues, and that's, what, $11 billion? Well, that figure can grow. I heard $11 billion when Schwarzenegger was in office to redo all the water systems. And, of course, remember, Jerry's dad put that in. You know, and the freeway. So that's an issue. They have support to have a construction bond in 214.
Okay.
Just for general construction. Now, whether they'll change the rules or not, from what we're used to, we're not sure in the dollar amounts that they would give to various schools that qualify. We have our applications in under the old rules.
You qualify for around $36 million for the high school right now.
And the other building we put at C's.
Yeah, that's another couple million.
Yeah.
Is this old bond money?
Well, they're out of old bond money. It's all agreed. This would be new bond money that we'd all vote for, or to vote on, I should say. It would be nice to everybody vote for. But they bring it on a major election, which 214 is the next one, and they can have it. And so if they put it out and it passes with, you know, a majority vote, I'm not sure what rules they would apply to it. It'd be X amount of billions of dollars. And then over a period of time, they would sell those bonds. That's an authorization, but they still have to sell them and have to be able to pay for them. So we would put our application in. For example, we've already had the application in for what we've done at San Marcos High School and for the two-story building we built at San Alejo Elementary. And then the K-8 we're looking at, that's a separate application. And you can't apply until you actually have approved drawings.
Right. DSA-approved drawings.
DSA-approved product drawings, so...
But you can't apply retroactively then, like, for the high school?
That's, we've already got them in. And there's probably a timeframe on retro.
You mean on money?
Go back, so...
Once you've occupied the buildings, you can't apply at that point. It has to be prior to occupancy that you make that application, under today's rules. So...
But we haven't quite occupied those buildings yet, right?
But the application is already in, and it's been approved through the state allocation board. There just isn't any money to allocate to the school district.
Under the old, existing rules.
Right.
What we're concerned with is the new ones, they may try to tweak it down a little bit, especially on modernization and, you know, we get, their allocation's at X amount of dollars per kid that qualifies. So let's say it's $11,000 per child that what's considered unhoused, either in a future coming or they're in a portable building. They may drop that to 7,000, meaning they're paying less of a new school than they used to.
So everything's squishy.
Pardon me?
Everything's squishy.
Well, you know, they also have this bullet train thing that's going to cost a few bucks, too. So we don't know. We'll stand in line. If we get it, great. And that means we can do the next project, which would be some of the elementary schools that we need to really get rid of portable buildings and rebuild because they have a limited useful life that they've exceeded in many cases. That's where we're going.
Very pleased to hear that you guys continue to look for grant money and reimbursement money wherever you can. So do you have a staff person that is in charge of sort of looking for all these opportunities?
Yeah.
We also hired a firm that specializes in getting the maximized dollars on that program. They helped us out. So Kathy has done very well for the district in getting funds. I don't know how many millions of dollars you've gotten since you've been here. Even the county, you know, we own half this building, the county owns it. They got a little bit for the juvenile court school that they put in out of the state, so to help build this building. But probably average.
The school district is over $100 million that we've received.
Yeah, in the past probably 10 years.
Yeah, since Mission Hills High School.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that would be something to maybe try to find a way to publicize more that, you know, you're finding all of these external sources of money to help the district.
Okay.
Training month. Yep. We are trying to make $1 million through E-rate grants, state funding. There's another one, Prop 39 is another one dealing with energy savings. So there are lots of different avenues that we are trying to pursue. And the best we can do is get in line when we get the money. I hate to say if we get the money, but sometimes if we get the money, it's up to the rules, it's up to the government. But we are doing the best we can to get in line and fight for those monies as best we can. Third project here is Woodland Park Middle School modifications. And the last one, here's what I said, technology infrastructure upgrades project. So let me go through what those projects are. San Marcos High School project, you got a nice update from Kathy. In the DSA drawings, they are split up into increments. Please don't get that confused with what I'm calling phases. The phase zero was the interim campus, which is already done. Phase one is what she's talking about finishing for August, is opening up the gym, the applied arts and sciences building, and the maintenance operations facilities. By January of next year, we're talking about opening all the buildings, and then the entire campus, all fields, everything, by the start fall of 2014. So just that's kind of the schedule. We're opening in phases, so I just want to make sure you guys are aware if that's happening. As people ask you questions in the community, you're able to answer that question fairly easily. Schedule, obviously, from 2011 to July of 2014. Here's the breakdown of the budget. It was a $180 million project, and this is how we typically split it up. Hard costs and soft costs is the lingo we use. So hard costs is everything in construction. That's the first number, the $150 million. Soft cost is the $29 million for design, inspectors, yada, yada, yada. It's all the planning and design aspects of things. So hard cost, soft cost is how you'll see us break down budgets and cost expenditures to you. So this is the budget breakdown for hard cost, soft cost for the $180 million project budget. Note that this includes also the interim campus. So the reason for saying that is the cost of to build a new high school isn't 150. it's less than 150 because there's also this big interim campus in there. A lot of districts don't have to do that interim campus. We did, so. But it actually saved us a lot of dollars in the alternative ways we could have done this whole thing. So there's a breakdown. Any questions on that one? Okay. The E-rate technology projects, so the three projects are Alvin Dunn, Woodland Park, and San Marcos Elementary School. The total project cost, and So here's my, again, status, scope, schedule, budget. Scope, schedule, budget. You hear that over and over again. So it was a lot of just upgrading the technology infrastructure throughout the projects and making sure we have the proper infrastructure in the classrooms for data upgrades, et cetera. The schedule for these projects was spring of 2012, and there's an error there, I apologize. Summer of 2014 is when we're planning on finishing all these projects prior to the Common Core. So please correct, the finished schedule is the summer of 2014.
So the not summer status 12. Then is not
for the schedule, correct, that's correct. These projects are completed. They were completed summer 2012. The budget was 136 from Prop K. We actually put a little bit more into it because we're trying to plan for the Common Core stuff. So he talked about a 90-10 split. We put a little bit more into it because we knew the goal that we had to reach with this. It wasn't just use the E-rate dollars the way they wanted. They said we could. We also have to plan for Common Core.
And that was strictly Woodland Park?
This is all three projects. This is the budget that happened for all three projects. So it's a $1,000 budget for the projects. Yes?
So the schedule is correct. It was started in spring of 2012 and ended in summer of 2012.
Correct.
$136,603 in Prop K money was spent.
Correct.
This is the first time I've heard of this Prop K money being spent. Why?
I wasn't here previously.
I need to look into that. The 136 seems high. We only used, if we did use Prop K, it was only for Woodland Park, not Alvin Dunn and SME. Those monies came out separately. We did. I asked Card to do this at the last minute today, so I'm going to double check these dollar amounts. I thought the dollar amount for SME was about $400,000, and Alvin Dunn was about $3,000.
Yeah.
So let me check those numbers. He quickly worked with our technology person today on that at the last minute. So we'll get an update and send it out to you.
But I do recall in the Prop K materials, there were specific projects for technology at the different schools that were laid out. So it's not like this is money that was not set forth in the Prop K approval documentation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think, Tom, your question is, you know, this never came up in any of the minutes that these projects are going forward
correct.
Right now.
In the previous meetings that I've attended prior and during, or I guess during the 2012 year, I was not aware that any funds from Prop K was spent other than the high school. And so it's problematic where we were supposed to provide oversight, even if $1 was spent on from Prop K on this project, the oversight committee wasn't made aware of it, and we're supposed to track the funds. Mm-hmm. And if that's occurring, why did it occur, and why weren't we informed? Because that's the purpose of the committee. And so, after the fact, even if the $1 or $10,000, we have a responsibility to know that. And so, and I don't believe that was the case.
And that would be on me. That would be on me. I would have I failed to do that. So, and I know it's smaller. I don't believe it's 136. I think it's a much smaller figure than that. So, and it would have been at Woodland Park, and we only did it just recently. So the other projects were done SME was done in 2010.
Yeah.
Alvin Dunn 2011 before we even had Prop K fund. So I know it wasn't Prop K. It's the Woodland Park, and it was a small dollar amount that we did this just this past year. So I'll look into that, but I do apologize. That should have been something I just put on my chart, and I didn't fail to do that.
And again, it would be good, I think, if it's possible, to break out the e-grant money, how much of it displaced needing to dip mm-hmm. into the Prop K money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking it was about probably 800, 700,000 total e-grant, including SME and Alvin Dunn.
Yeah, it's closer to that. Yeah. I think Bill Simpson in the spring and had provided the presentation on the technology upgrades and had discussed some of the schools where it was going to be at and an approximate budget of $17 million on technology. And that was kind of the introduction to what the technology program was going to cover using Prop K funds.
But there wasn't month by month, or quarter by quarter, follow up like this.
Because it was just starting.
No, I'm thinking that at Woodland Park, I want to say it was more in the $30,000 to $50,000 range.
Yes. No, at your convenience. Once you're done with your comments.
I was just going to say, if you could please look into that, mm-hmm. and then be sure as new projects are coming online, be sure that we're plugged into. Project is starting, you know, here's the budget, and then here's the progress.
Yeah, we're going to be talking a little bit about this, the technology part, later on in Kari's presentation.
If you ever get there.
That's all right. Well, this is good. This is good to have the discussion back and forth.
David?
Thank you. You know, I do remember the presentation on technology, and I know we've talked about the cost of technology, you know, being a predominant factor. Mm-hmm. You know, part of our role, the biggest part of our role is communication to the public. And it's two-way, obviously, what we communicate to the public and what we hear and convey to each other from the public. You know, with that said, there's a lot of discussion now, and it kind of relates to this, about the use of bond monies for technology. You know, because, you know, ultimately, what do they call it now? Generational equity, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the folks that are going to be paying through bond payments, debt and interest payments, 20 or 30 years from now for tablets that are obsolete, basically, in 2 or 3 or 5 years or something. So, you know, while, again, I remember the discussion about technology, part of the public consciousness now, at least what I hear from people, is about the use of long-term money for short-term projects or mm-hmm. short-term disposables. Yeah, so basically. So anyway, something for us to be cognizant about. I don't know how to address it. Other than just for us to be aware that you know, we're guilty too of it, I guess.
Well, I thought about it after Tom brought it up a little over a year ago, and I was driving home, and I'm going, oh, you know, I should have brought something up. Most of us are used to home loans. We get the 30-year home loan. We pay the principal a little bit, over that 30 years, and the interest, and it kind of goes more interest in front and more principal at the back end. Bonds aren't like that. Bonds are sold in $5,000 increments, and some are long-term, some are short-term. So if we sold, I'm going to grab a figure, $100 million, not all of it's 30-year money. Some of it's one-year money. Some of it's two-year money. So we will have some of those $5,000 bonds paid off in 1 year at a very low interest rate, 2 years, 4 years. We just sell. How many do we want at the 1 year? How many do we want? It's a 10-year, and they fit it into our revenue stream. So some of the money, you can argue that for the technology, let's say a 5-year technology add-on or 6 years or whatever it's going to be, you can use those bonds, logically apply those bonds that were short-term bonds to that project. If you look at a big construction project, not everything's going to last. If the building says, okay, it's a 50-year life or whatever, not everything in that building, like our home, is going to last 50 years. You know, my stove oven didn't last 25 years. It got replaced pretty quick, or the air conditioner or whatever. So even then, not all that's going to last the life of the building. We'll have to replace it. But I did want to bring that out because, you know, most people don't have experience with GO bonds or bonds that companies sell or so forth, unless we buy them and put them in our portfolio. You know.
The problem, I think, and David alluded to it, is that these bonds that people are having problems with are capital appreciation bonds. 40-year terms, no principal payments during those 40 years, the interest accrues. And so using those type of financing for a tablet is just plain wrong. It's not a mortgage, like you were describing as a home mortgage, but it's more like a payday loan where you go out and borrow $5,000 or maybe $500 or $1,000 and then turn around and have to pay back $10,000 because of the interest rate. And so because of that, I think there's only one state I know that outlawed capital appreciation bonds is Michigan. It's again that generational debt that we're laying on to the people, and as we're going through this project, it's something that we just need to help balance and look at.
Right. Tom, if I may, I think, and actually I had some information to share when we get to the comment section, you know, generally about debt issuance, because I think the school board is going to be looking at some of these issues coming up soon. But I think the key thing here is maybe if the staff could give us a definition of technology infrastructure that would be using the bond proceeds. I think that would help.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kari, go ahead.
Yeah, just keep eyeing me. The Taxpayer Association has been wrestling with that for some time. And they had, as Gary has said, looked for bonds that last as long as the technology. And there is a great deal of different tranches of debt. And a lot of it is short term. But I don't think 12% is a fair rate that we should be paying for short-term bonds.
Short-term bonds wouldn't pay 12%.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No, they wouldn't. No. Well, not any short-term bond.
The accretion rate for a large number of our short-term bonds are 12%.
That doesn't sound right.
It's not.
A one-year tax-exempt interest rate is a couple of percent.
But this is the yield. But the taxpayer is on the hook for the 12%.
They're long-term bonds. They're not short-term bonds. The short-term bond. Let me finish.
Okay.
The short-term bonds, which would be SIBs, would be, like I said, a one-year bond or two-year bond. Those would range this. I'm going to grab a figure. Let's say 1.3% or whatever the going market rate. As you get longer, then their interest rates go up. And so what you were looking at are the caps at 12%.
Yes.
And those aren't short-term. Those are long-term. Those are 40-year.
No.
There's only a handful that get paid off early. And if you include the premium, wasn't 12%. But we can argue that point later, and I could do some detailed research for you. But I know we're not paying 12% on a short-term bond. Yeah.
I think this is one of the things that I was getting at, was that we have this table of estimations, but we don't have the actual sales results. Mm-hmm. So we don't know just what we're paying on these, but if the accretion rate is 12% on a bond, isn't the taxpayer on the hook for 12%?
But you have to look at the maturity. There's a term scale here. And Mike, the typical public finance structure, as Gary was saying, is a combination of serial bonds and term bonds, and occasionally you'll throw in a cap. Capital appreciation bond. So, you know, from 1 year to about 15 years, they're serial bonds. So each year is going to have a maturity. That, you can have a bond that has a 1 year maturity. And that's going to have a very, very low interest rate. It's going to be a couple of percent in this environment. Right? And then each year, that interest rate's going to go up for that next maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And these are very small generally. Then when you get out to 15 years, 15 to 40, 50, corporations issue 100-year bonds when interest rates are this low. Then you do term bonds. So you group them. You have a maturity that is here or here, and you have a sinking fund. So that'll retire some of that in each year. Now, that one interest rate will apply for that bond. This interest rate will apply for that bond. But in the short end here, you have very low interest rates. Now, the 12% that you're talking about is probably a CAB bond. And like you said, that would be out here, right? And it's accreting interest over that period of time.
Right, I understand.
But It's not like a one-year bond that's paying 12%.
Now, if you've got a maturity value of 30,000